Thank you, Joan. This book, my first full-length book, Three Birds Deep, came out of a manuscript class with the Mad Women in the Attic with Jan Beatty. And when I went to the class, I thought, all I'm going to do is put this thing together and that'll be that. But I didn't know it was going to be a working class. I just thought, and I didn't know at the end that you had to send it out. So at the end, I just said, okay, here, just put it in the wind. And I actually won the contest. I had no idea. But I'd like to start with the title poem, because I want to, the book is entitled Three Birds Deep. So I want to start with the title poem. Mornings are hard for my father. Three swallows of black coffee, tart flock down the throat, scrapes wings against grit of Republic steel coal mines. The taste of black dirt is a wafer-thin offering on tongues of demons that heave in his chest. Cut words at three quarters, hack brutal dark as doctors carve a first bird from the left lung. A promiscuous street woman, nursing plumes the color of warm, strewn with shards of magenta. Another bird, unexpected, found dead. Yellow canary, eyes filled with bits of wicked tobacco, born hungry for pool of malignant winds that swell wings. An inhale barely expands my father's chest. His raisin brown skin stretched to capacity of breath is no windstorm brazen as the second hussy hurled from black muck. A third bird on twisted flutter zips fast into my father's face, pecks his dry mouth with razor beak, its ragged feathers scratched down in the throat, near a fourth bird hidden deep in crisscross branches of the right lung. It sings that it will build a nest tomorrow. 6 months later, no nest to block December shiver. And my father, without bargain, gives last bits of air, helps the bird bring sticks and twigs, make a home burrowed out of reach, nestled in boughs of flesh. My father roosts with master of carcinogen wings, swaps stories of flight, and in his mind of feathers, he circle glides, lifts in transition, kamikazes out of sight. Thank you. I never hold a book. I usually have a piece of paper typed on. This one is called Beekeeper. And recently, in 2010, my brother passed away. The Vietnam War finally claimed him. And this is about him. Beekeeper. Alone with three legs reaching, a yellow jacket lay like a virgin in the grave, curled on cool basement cement, stiff in the dead dream. It would have been easy to kick it away, toe to head, how it should be, if it had not awakened my brother in me. He crouched still at war, wounded flesh unhealed from elbow to phalanges, his riding hand cupped blood, southpaw unlucky in love. How did this soldier bee fly down rice paddy laundry chute into knickknacks, hunks of chairs piled one on top of two, three and 25? Reconfigured, this mass of wood is a bone hive of mangled bodies thrown in a stack of unidentified honeycombs. Like trees full of slant-eyed chom-chom that grow their white Viet meat transparent as wafer wings my brother used when he flew into me sideways. The body he left behind is full of thick skin for ceremony to ashes, and the gray-brown dust I keep on the tongue stings my eyes. Ever since I retired, I started going down into Taos, New Mexico for a month or so. And the last time the first time I was there, I went to a powwow. And this grasshopper jumped on the hood of the car in the yard of the house I was renting, and it rode all the way to the powwow. And then when it got there, it just jumped off. And no matter how fast we went, this thing would not move. It was like the ornament and headed toward the powwow. So I guess it went with us. So this one, this next poem is called Helmet Head. In the driveway, a grasshopper hops the hood, clings like an ornament while I ride the passenger seat shotgun. Wild woman throwing peyote dust, turning my car into a cluster of white palomino, clomping to powwow in the high desert. My father, on the day of his funeral, changed into a white bird, a seagull. He had never been to the edge, never too far past sulfur brown in the creek. But I had once seen what could have been a gull gliding above the Allegheny River, out of place in the gray over Pittsburgh. It is the same coughed up sky I saw when my father's red-brown skin stretched death ash after living in coal mines, shaping dirtscapes for rich people, boulders, manure, bulbs, stinking possibilities, buried in hardened feces like Cape Castle walls, made of human excrement. Millions of embedded hearts still pulse there, as mine does now as I lean my body half out the window, screaming a fist at the grasshopper. It hugs the hood with all 6 feet, madman with helmet head bent to the wind, wings pressed against abdomen, protect the singing heart inside segmented armor shell. No need to flick it for choice of song. Force of wind will knock the helmet off as we gain speed. It will tumble backward, splatter on the windshield, become a dot. This fourth one is a maybe. I guess I have to read it, but since I have the time. This is called Baby Leg. And this, I was going for therapy on my hip, speaking of ailments on my hip. And this woman came in, and I just couldn't get her attention for anything. So this is Baby Leg. A woman comes rolling in her wheelchair, elbows bent like chicken wings, hands gripped on the wheels, and I bet she flies in her dreams. Doesn't have to think about lifting one leg in front of the left one that is not there. The right leg is a baby leg, new flesh with barefoot curled just a little, as if caught in some other space-time and stayed there. She spins spokes in straight line purpose, appointment with free weights, strength of upper body muscle. She doesn't look at me even when I say hello. I don't know if she really doesn't see me or doesn't want me to see her baby leg and the empty space leg that is not empty at all. I imagine this woman into a world of a man I know, who decided before coming form, before flesh, to enter a body with the left arm like her right leg, short and paralytic, of no use but to stir my thoughts. She does not know why she too wanted this, some of her life energy compressed into one baby leg with no growth cycle, in the other leg a figment. This unknowing presses her self-conscious against me. My stomach pushes back. Pressure of two masses insist in a space of time kept as seed. I reach to open the door for her, but her woman hand is quick on the knob. Well, that's the end of this book. So I decided not to read all poems from the book. Then you wouldn't have to buy it. So I decided I would read some from this book, and then I would read a couple from my chapbook. And then I would read some drafts that I'm working on, which are I like fun. Oh, this one is called Sunflowers. Sunflowers. Sunflowers, 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 and Aunt Leona's high, high yellow skin. She planted deep seeds in the backyard, took good care of her dancing garden of light. until velvet forsythia wore the twilight star hushed by dusk. Aunt Leona, back bent, knees pressed to dirt, she buried memories with sword-sharp scissors that cut stems to adorn her mantelpiece. Fading into darkness, day set in purple-gray azure, as tenacious hands work and brittle fingers quiver like shadows of swaying grass blades clashing beneath a charging moon. Sun's long gone down now. Aunt Leona finally lost her ground, confined to a wheelchair spinning time around. An oxygen tank gives and takes breath away, hisses a snake-like breeze. Soft azaleas whisper, forget me not, plead with sweet lilac on the wind that slither across a yellow petal and whisk it deliberately to the earth. Oh, this is one. This is one I have not read in quite a long time. And I did this one at a, after I start reading through my poems, I keep saying, oh, I did this in this workshop. Oh, I did this in this workshop. And then I did this in another person's workshop, until my whole book is full of workshop poems. Which is not a bad thing at all, not at all. But this one, it was done with Terrence Hayes, with working with the work of Pablo Neruda, which Jimmy mentioned earlier. It's called I Like For You To Sit Near. I like for you to sit near, like the distance between my echo and Paris. I still taste the comfort of bonbon on my tongue. Like spring, your eyes fill the hungry mouths of cherry blossoms with pink. As a small bird, let me fly with you into the earth, dusted over with bronze red rouge. I like for you to sit near, like the wind blowing in circles. It feels as though you are swirling deep in my belly, like a starling caught in the eye. You are me inside myself, like lips that blossom in sweet rain. I feel your hands reach like branches, and words are tangled in leaves. As all of the sky is spacious inside my heart, you come from the sky, filled with my heart. You are like my heart, a dash of red thought, and you are like the concept Veritas Vermilion. Come sit near. I like for you to sit near, and you seem to be meandering. It sounds like the creek murmuring of drunken love. You are thick vintage blood down my throat, like the wisteria climbing pine. I cling to the passing flavor of you, you who are me inside myself. I like for you to sit near, like the lump in my throat. Your silence is my face pressed against a dark night. Like the moon sinking, our words dig beneath a stone, and the slender-necked violet bends in sorrow as the barely audible sound of my pulse high tides inside my ear. I like for you to sit near, and you seem to have gone far away. It feels as though I can touch your distance that is close as my breath. I tilt my mouth up like a window wide open in summer, and the sun is yes, yes, not no. Come sit near. Sky like this. This is about a very strong woman who had four different kinds of cancer and really fought to the end. Sky like this. 2 p.m. December 11th, I hear swoosh of air pushed through Carolyn's vocal cords, forced to form the ugh sound that moves through the throat as a fish out of water that cannot come to full gulp. The word again, cut. In that breath, Carolyn tells me nurses and doctors will collect money. Give it to her. She says, I never had any money come out of a sky like this. I can only be grateful for a gift out of the blue. We talk about how she is reinventing herself with fewer pounds. She says, I don't know who I am, but at 56, I must be somebody. I guess you could say I'm like a shooting star. Everything piled up on me, got so heavy, I just had to come down. Down to a size 8, after having always wanted to be a cute little arrangement of cheeks and bones. People mention she is thin, and she tells them it is a recent thing, but does not say what this thing is. She just says the time for skinny is here, but she wants her fat back, all 247 pounds. Thank you. I want to read this one again, Die Laughing. My brother talks with his trigger finger. Rapid fire words, laughing and crying all at once. Learned how crouched in rice paddies, fertilized with Vietnamese feces, didn't matter whose or what's. He can AK-47 you down to your knees, make you die laughing, but not back in Nam. Said dying was different, killed kids, babies, mothers. Said that was something to laugh about, but he did. Said that was nothing to laugh about, but he did. All night smoking tar, opium, mixed with oriental weed packed in aluminum foil pipes. Said he laughed hardest when he saw heads explode, skull bone break, brains fly, pieces of body slap his face like he had done something wrong. Said he followed orders, chain of command, and if he hadn't laughed so hard, he would have killed himself. Said war killing was joke time, until he came home, both arms, black lines like secret operations, inked on overlay maps of hotel company, 2nd Battalion, 3rd Marine Regiment, 1st Platoon, Death Squad, first out, first hit. Okay. I thought I'd read just a few that I'm working on now, if that's okay. Actually, some of these are from, no, they're not. This one, or a couple, are from the COVID condom retreat that I was able to participate in. This one is called Reverence. Like a zebra who after the kill loses stripes, it would have fought well with a tusk or horn. And before it can rest long enough to gather the black and white into a pattern of opposites, it attracts muscular arms of the hill that pull torn hide over a jagged rock. In this way, small town police cuff my father, beat him until flesh splits into blood. First, the nose, quick uppercut to nostrils. The punch lifts him up wide open to harps and angels and horns and such music that is heard in heaven. Like this we learn to covet the primordial stone lodged in the brain. We know to be beaten is divine, makes us see faces blended in crevices of rock, battered loyalty in the eyes, and each mouth formless, sucking back bits of ripped skin, soil of nourishment. In this way we are faithful. Like this, we hold our tongues to dust. This next one's called Onions, which I love. And my six-year-old, when I was about 6 or 7 years old, my boyfriend said he would never marry me because I ate too many onions, and he didn't. And I still eat onions. So anyway, but this came out of, you know how when you're writing and you hear somebody else write or see their writing, you say, oh, I want to write like that. Oh, I want to try that. Well, this is one of the ones that I wanted to try from a woman who, I think she won the Philip Levine Award for her book. I want to try that. So this is called Onions. I trapped the moth in a jelly jar. It screams so loud, Miss Clementine next door says I should let it go free. Instead, I clamp a tin lid over the glass mouth of the jar, shut my ears. I can't hear Swamp Man creep down rows of corn. I am kneeling, not praying. I grow scallions of onions. I grow scallions, onions, shoots of small breasts in the far corner of my daddy's garden. Swamp Man grabs me from behind. The palm of his hand comes fast as moth wings flit. Zigzag circumstance. Swamp man's hand is over my mouth, in my mouth. I gulp for air like the time I almost drowned in the swimming hole. Close my eyes, kick my legs. My tongue flails wild as a catfish caught with a tree branch fishing pole. Dad's lucky hook dangling on kite string. Where is my father? I can't hear the moth's crazy screams, can't see fuzzy skin wings crash the underbelly of a tin lid. It has stopped throwing itself madly against walls of the jelly jar. My legs are tired. Swamp man twists pinches until there's no skin left to turn. An index finger and a thumb screw open my lid. Fingers like tiny fishbone daggers stab my vocal cords. My guts turn inside out. I grab a rock, crack a fish head open. Stars shoot up from the garden. A dead catfish flops out of me. Slit the belly, scrape out entrails, gouge the eyes. I smell the sharpness of onions.
Water.
I've been alerted that there's one more for me. What about, I would like to read this one I just was working on, and then one more, and that'll be it.
Okay.
Oh yeah, good cop, bad cop, right, that's right, thanks. Okay, Genus Bombus, another name for my brother on R&R from the war. Fat, black, fuzz, but a yellow-striped bumblebee hovers like a copter in Nam. Wings swivel fast as blades chop air to maintain altitude. Keep my brother and the girl he bought for a night high until daybreak. When he got the 5-day pass, my brother left the war, went for R&R in Bangkok, got a room at the Rex Hotel. $5 a night, air conditioned, swimming pool, 24-hour service. We guest friendly, the manager said. My brother took the girl woman from New Phetchaburi Road up to a rented room. Nothing to do with love. Nothing to do with sex. No shopping, no sightseeing. Everything to do with war and rub of skin. He attacked the vagina, fingered a trigger, belly crawled, scraped meat against dirt and snapped twigs. The tiny Thai woman slid her hand over my brother's crotch, let it lay on his penis as a bumblebee's tongue sheathed and folded under the thorax. The woman stroked his launcher as if natal skin, like the genus Bombus shivers to warm its wings for flight. A grenade exploded, choked in her throat. My brother said he fucked the woman hard after that, as if beating his head against concrete, hoping the chopped, the bits, the bones of Viet people would leap out, be whole again, run free, free him. Now, rested, recuperated, back on his watch in Nam, my brother, high on twisted bond of love and machete, craves to blow a bazooka straight up the ass. Fuck the war to death.
Oh. This is it.
This is it. I go to senior tennis every Friday. Senior tennis, and they think I can run like lightning. That's because they are at least 20 to 30 years older than me. They said, boy, are you fast. And I'm thinking, yeah, I am, okay. But, so these are called senior tennis shorts. So they're short little poems. But one, support. The instructor cheers, yay, you got it. Two, happy feet. She's back, blabbermouth. Whole size two big sneakers, slap, 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 slap. Three, grave fact number one. After the first 20 minutes, the ball is a neon streak. Tired muscles make a sloppy game, and the best become lousy. The lousy become lousier. Four, ta-da! She pushes through the revolving door as if on stage, announces, look what the cat dragged in. I smell it. Pinching odor, strong dose of baby powder in the panties. 5, are you smarter than a tennis ball? Green fuzz, flash of neon, Pat prowls, bounces on tiptoes like a wind-up toy. The ball lands inbounds, Pat attacks, swoosh, screams, dumb ball. 6, a case of name-calling before partner matching for the game. Sheila Brown, right? This is the millionth time she's asked, and it's the millionth time I've told her, no, it's Jones. Jones, Jones, Jones. Next time she asks, I say, it's my skin that's throwing you off. She remembers Jones the next time. And the time after that, and the time after that, and the time after that. Now she plays on court 3 with 3 other white ladies. 7, Good Friday. Sally pushes the homemade chocolate matzah treat, breaks off pieces, passes them out to the other seniors, says to each of us, you don't have to eat it. I feel blessed. 8, at Love, Love. Walter forgets he's holding the unleavened bread. On his serve, the treat goes up with the ball. Sally's chocolate matzah smashes into the net, crumbles. Walter says, oops.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.